Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. The contentious vote at Volkswagen is over, but debate continues, and the United Auto Workers could be back next year, maybe even sooner. I'm here today with Nooga.com reporter Chloe Morrison, who's been reporting on this controversy. Chloe, welcome to Around and About.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the UAW lost on Friday. I think pretty much everybody's aware of that at this point. The workers rejected the UAW's bid to unionize the plant. Looking at the media coverage of this, some of the headlines have just been really strong. Blaze.com reported, United Auto Workers Union stunned by devastating defeat in Tennessee. Commentary Magazine called it the UAW's Waterloo. But, you know, if you actually look, the UAW got 47% of the votes that were cast. So I think it's pretty interesting that people are calling it such a devastating defeat when they got 47% of the vote.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different dynamics. If you look at it from the fact that they didn't really have opposition that you would normally have to a union, you know, Volkswagen was neutral and they, you know, didn't really stop them from coming in and handing out all their info. I think a lot of people think if you had all that opportunity, you should have been able to win. If you can't win, then how are you going to win? So I think from that stance, that's why people think of it that way. And another thing I think is that it just was so much at stake, kind of, or at least that, you know, it might just be analysts saying that. But I think that there were lots of people that said this was kind of Bob King's legacy. He's going to be retiring or leaving, I think, in June. And it also sort of represented a larger issue of can they get into the South, which has been historically kind of anti-union. So I think those are kind of factors that play into kind of those words, defeat. And I also do think that everybody was a little stunned. I do think that people, at least from where I was looking, reporters and people talking beforehand, I think the vibe of a lot of people was that the UAW was going to win.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, and then when they kind of said the results, it was just like, wait, we didn't prepare for this, you know?
Yeah. So, because I'm wondering, like, how many reporters went ahead and wrote the article, UAW wins, and then they had to go back and totally rewrite it after the results were
announced. I wrote two ways. I mean, yeah. I wrote preparing for both as much as possible. But once it happens, you're kind of still thrown into the new situation.
And a big question everybody's asking is, when will the UAW be back? Will they be back? And what was in the election agreement was an actual specific timetable. What was that?
It was a year unless another organization makes a real effort to organize the plant. So if somebody else comes in and it's a legitimate effort, there were some words in the election agreement that were like legitimate, serious. It has to be kind of a serious effort. If that happens, then the UAW can come back. All bets are off. But otherwise, I think they have to wait a year.
The people at the plant have been talking, the workers specifically at the plant have been talking about possibly forming their own union. I think that's pretty interesting right there. Do you think that if that happens, that might cause the UAW to try to come back?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I wondered if the workers who didn't want the UAW, if they do try to form their own union, that might open the door for the UAW to come back into. So I don't know what kind of strategy might play out along those lines. There's also a lot of talk. The German Volkswagen leadership said that, you know, this isn't a vote against the Works Council, and we still want a Works Council. It's unclear what that can look like under U.S. labor law.
And let's talk about Southern Momentum for a moment. Southern Momentum, that's the group that was anti-UAW, but at the same time, pro having a local union. I know you interviewed Mike Burton, the leader of Southern Momentum. What sense did you get of all this from Mike Burton?
He was just very excited. I mean, I talked to him after the vote, or actually texted with him a little bit, and it was just kind of like, woohoo, you know, like we're so happy. I haven't gotten too much of a sense on if they are going to kind of organize for themselves. That's something that I need to follow up on, or lots of people will have to kind of look into, I guess. I think everybody's kind of taking a break, like of, you know, okay, this part's over, let's take a break, let's regroup and look at what's next. I think they will have to look at exactly what it is they want to accomplish. Like, just to say we want to organize or to say we want a works council is kind of vague. So I think the workers and the leaders need to think, okay, what are our goals? what do we want to accomplish and how do we do that?
I've got a clip of Burton. I talked to him right after they announced the results, and he talked a little bit about the idea of having this works council, this arrangement that I guess we should clarify for people who don't know. It's sort of like a union, but it's the European model where white-collar management is involved, and there generally aren't any strikes of any kind.
Right. And U.S. labor law doesn't really allow for that because it's more of an internal union. But
yeah.
It's this dual representation where you have both a works council and an outside union. In this case, in Germany, it's IG Metall.
An American works council is a possibility, and we have much more research to do to make it a viable offer to the company here and to have Germany accept it as well. I think we're coming up with a new animal.
That's Mike Burton, a worker at the local VW plant and a leader of Southern Momentum, a group that was against the UAW but in favor of starting a local union here in Chattanooga. And it sounds like if we had an American Works Council, it really would be a new animal because they don't have these in the U.S.
Right, exactly. And so that's definitely what's very interesting because it's new ground. We don't know what it would look like. We don't really know, you know, how you go about establishing that and what it means. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how it plays out, I think.
Something that really, really surprised me, you just said this, the UAW said this, every bit of research I did looking into this said this, the idea that U.S. labor law says if we have a works council, we have to have a union. Corker, though, Senator Bob Corker made some comments to the contrary on Saturday afternoon. I'll just go ahead and play that.
Again, it's the company's decision, not mine, but when we've had these conversations, we've never opposed the works council. I know there's been some, you know, reports that that's what we're opposing, and I think it's confusing for people because I think people don't understand the difference between a German works council and U.S. labor law. But we've never opposed the works council. Secondly, there's a big legal debate about whether you can even do a works council, a German works council, under U.S. law. Some say that you can only do it with a union. And some people would argue strongly you can only do it without a union, because I think you understand that a German works council also represents the white-collar workers, which is very different than U.S. Labor law allows or is today.
Senator Bob Corker speaking at a press conference on Saturday, and what he just said, that ran contrary to everything that I found out while I was doing research on this.
It did, me too. It was contrary to what I had learned. And I talked to a lawyer, a labor lawyer, this morning about it, actually. And I think maybe what is being alluded to or what is happening is that people are trying to figure out how they could do it and have it be legal. It hasn't been done before. And I think the exact way that it's done in Germany couldn't be done here. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what kind of what exactly he's referencing.
Yeah.
But I think that that's kind of where we are now, trying to figure out if there is a way to do it that would be legal but also be similar to the way it's done in Germany.
What's your take on this? How likely do you think it is that the people who were – and Mike Burton, the people who were getting ready to form this local union or at least talking about it will actually follow through on that?
You know, that's hard to say, and I would love to talk to them more about it. I think my impression all along was kind of that the reason they organized and created Southern Momentum in the first place was to sort of combat the UAW efforts. So if those are gone, I guess it really just depends on what the workers think they need, if they're not getting what they need from Volkswagen or if there are issues. I did talk to a couple of people even who were against the UAW who said, sure, we can improve on this or we can improve on that. So I think they will have to decide, you know, what it is they want. And if there are things that they need, then maybe I think it would be more likely that they would kind of organize and try to get that, get their needs met.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because the narrative has always been, well, the South is just violently anti-union. But the workers that I talked to, the ones that I read about, most of them just seem to be saying, you know, it's not that we're anti-union, just we don't need it. We're pretty happy. Things aren't perfect, but we're pretty happy with the way they are.
Absolutely. And I read some commentary today that was making that point, that the flaw in maybe the UAW's campaign was or just the situation, that maybe it was just a situational thing, was that none of the workers – or not many of the workers, it seems, were, you know, really unhappy. You know, you kind of have – something, if you can say, if a union can say, hey, you know, you're really unhappy. We can help you be happier. Right. But if you're already happy with your job, it's a little bit of harder of a sell.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Chloe Morrison. She's a reporter for NUGA.com. She's been reporting on the UAW-VW controversy. In reporting on this, in doing research on this, what are some things you found out that really surprised you?
Well, some of the things that the politicians said were surprising, not necessarily Senator Corker. I was kind of surprised by the statements from Beau Watson. They just were a lot stronger and pointed than I thought they were going. You know, when I went to that press conference, I kind of expected it to be the things we had been hearing over and over. But they, to me, that kind of just signaled how passionate and important they thought that was. And, you know, whether you agree with it or not, I just was surprised kind of at the language that was used in those statements. And it was clear that they were very, you know, had very, very strong feelings about it. And they expressed them. You know, a lot of times politicians try to kind of tiptoe and be diplomatic
yes.
and stuff. So that was one surprising moment. It was definitely surprising to me to see how Volkswagen handled the whole situation. And it was surprising all the different motivations. You know, even the company is split. You know, it seems like some of the Volkswagen leaders want a union and some of them don't, and some of the workers do and some of the workers don't. And then you have the outside forces that were kind of interested in it. And then another thing was just all the national attention that it got. You know, we had reporters from all over in Chattanooga, and it really put a spotlight on the city, you know, in a way that we get a lot of attention, but this was just kind of even bigger.
Well, what really surprised me the night that the results were announced when I went down there, I got down there and thought I must be in the wrong place because I saw like no crowds, very few other reporters. And, you know, for all the attention it got, it was really a subdued evening when they finally announced it.
It was. It was kind of, you know, a little anticlimactic, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was – and I think it was kind of just people couldn't believe that it was finally happening, or at least, you know, you're like, wow, this is the vote. And then when it wasn't what most people expected, it was even more shocking, I guess.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens next with the Works Council and with the SUV. I mean, that was kind of a side discussion. You know, if you have the union, you won't get it, or you will get it. So it'll be interesting and exciting to see if the SUV will be made in Chattanooga.
It will. And I also wanted to mention, you are the advisor for the UTC Echo, the student newspaper here at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And I think if there's one lesson in this for journalism students, maybe journalists in general, it's to be careful about oversimplifying things. We as journalists like to say things like, Volkswagen says this, or Volkswagen wants this. And of course, there is no Volkswagen. It's a whole bunch of different people all over the globe. And we saw firsthand how a corporation can have so many different people with so many different interests.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.